N-Y-Y-S-T.
Hold up, why do they doubt the kid? I'm about to prove them all wrong again. I got a low tolerance, cause they don't even know where their problem is. It's me. You waiting on the boy to fail, then hold your breath and face your death. Cause you play a roulette with each step, I progress no less. Go ahead and place your bet. Cause we know where we at, we know we top tier. Cause all the hate that you bring, we know it stops there. I'm taking off like a rocketeer and stopping here. It's strange how they cannot see the future, but see profit here. Wait up.
At Blinds.com, it's not just about window treatments. It's about you, your style, your space, your way. Whether you DIY or want the pros to handle it all, you'll have the confidence of knowing it's done right. From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Tito's Handmade Vodka is America's favorite vodka for a reason. From the first legal distillery in Texas, Tito's is six times distilled till it's just right and naturally gluten-free, making it a high-quality spirit that mixes with just about anything, from the smoothest martinis to the best Bloody Marys. Tito's is known for giving back, teaming up with nonprofits to serve its communities and do good for dogs. Make your next cocktail with Tito's. Distilled and bottled by Fifth Generation Inc., Austin, Texas. 40% alcohol by volume. Savor responsibly.
Welcome back. This is episode 491 of the NYYST podcast. We're presented by NYY Underground. I'm your host, Christian, and I'm with my co-host, Sem.
What is up?
Well, what's up is the Yankees stonks. Isn't that the meme? Stonks are up?
Stonks. Well, stonks are meme stonks, like meme GameStop stonks and AMC and...
Well, the Yankees stonks are up after they, about an hour ago, they just completed a 4-3 victory over the Toronto Blue Jays, taking 2 out of 3 from the first place Blue Jays. Now the Yankees have completed the first half of the gauntlet. They have gone 4-2 inside the gauntlet. So things are looking pretty good for the New York Yankees right now. They still have 6 games left to go in the gauntlet. So we'll see if they can finish this thing out strong. But before we dive into the Toronto series, we want you to make sure you have left us a 5-star rating and review on your favorite podcast platform. Please, guys, it helps drive us up the charts and cancel out anybody that wants to be a moron in our reviews. So if you love us, support us, please do so by leaving a 5-star rating and review. Tell everybody NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. Saturday was NYYU Day out at Yankee Stadium. Unfortunately, we were unable to be there. First one that I've missed. I was supposed to. This is the irony of it. I didn't go because it was supposed to be my daughter's first cheer outing. I don't know what to call it. It's not a game. They're cheerleaders. They're not playing in the game. So you can't call it like a cheering game. So what do you really? I don't know what to call it. Right?
It's performance.
Okay, well, they didn't have it because it ended up pouring in the middle of the afternoon, so they canceled it. But I saw some videos, some pictures, obviously a packed, sold-out Audi club for NYY Underground. So thank you for your continued support on the channel there. And if you haven't done so already, subscribe to NYYU on YouTube. We'll be back in a couple of weeks on NYYU. But for now, audio only, so make sure you are subscribed on the podcast channel you're listening to us on here. All right, well, we're not going to talk much or at all really about the Houston series because that's past us. Please make sure you're filed to the show on TikTok at NYYST Podcast. Did a couple of videos kind of talking about the games of the Houston series, so that's kind of going to be our coverage of it. But the Yankees did what they needed to do in Houston. They went down there. They won 2 out of 3 games. We all know what happened in the middle game with the friggin' umpire. Okay, we don't have to rehash that, but it was a nice kickoff to the gauntlet where the Yankees went down to a place they don't play well in. I don't care what the regular season numbers are. They don't play well down there in big games, okay? They went down there. They won 2 out of 3. We move on to Toronto. This is a big series here for the Yankees because this is the last time that the Yankees are facing the Toronto Blue Jays in the 2025 regular season. The Yankees came in to this series down 3 games in the division. But you have to factor in that the Yankees lost the tiebreaker to the Astros, to the Blue Jays. So that's a 4-game lead the Toronto Blue Jays came into this weekend with. They get the win on Friday. You know, that's not looking good for the Yankees because, you know, I'm not backing off what I said about Cam Schlittler. I still want Cam Schlittler to be in the playoff rotation, although Luis Hill certainly made a friggin' case for that on Saturday. I give a lot of credit to the Toronto batters on Friday for the way they just kept fouling off pitch after pitch after pitch after pitch after pitch. It really worked Schlittler. That just kind of goes to show the development of Schlittler and where it's at, that he's got to kind of maybe develop a splitter, develop a changeup to get Toronto off, to get especially good hitting teams that don't strike out a lot off his fastball. But I'm not going to say that it was a bad performance by Schlittler. It just kind of shows you where he is in his development and how good Toronto can be offensively, especially if they don't strike out a lot. You know, Yankees lose. It's ugly. We move to Saturday. Now, the Yankees didn't do a lot offensively on Saturday. They didn't do a lot offensively on Sunday. But what they did is they got good pitching. They got a good pitching performance from Luis Hill in the bullpen on Saturday. They got a good pitching performance from Max Fried and the bullpen on Sunday. They got enough offense with the Rice home run and the Bellinger double to take it home here today. They win 4-3. Now the Yankees are taking 2 out of 3. They've taken both of the series inside the gauntlet here. And now I think, I don't want to speak for everybody, but I think you got to be feeling a little bit better about the Yankees and their prospects going into October here. Now, it's speaking more direct and more in the now here, what does this mean for the American League East? Well, by winning today, the Yankees kept their chances alive. They kept their hopes alive of winning the American League East because with the win today, they cut Toronto's lead to 2, but again, it's really down to 3. That them losing the tiebreaker really hurts them because you have to clear them in the standings in order to win a division here. It becomes an extra game that Toronto's up. So Toronto is realistically, and for all intents and purposes, up on the Yankees 3 with 19 to play. Toronto's schedule is harder down the stretch than the Yankees. Can the Yankees make up these 3 games down the stretch here? You know, it depends on how they finish out the gauntlet here because they got 3 against the Detroit Tigers, which, you know, Scooble's not scheduled, but he could go in the finale. It's TBD right now, and that would be him on regular rest. So if you don't get him, that's really no excuses why you don't take that series. And then what do you do in Boston? If there's one team that's clowned you worse than the Toronto Blue Jays this year, it's been the Boston Red Sox. So how does the end of this gauntlet look going into the final stretch of games here against all teams that are under 500? Now, if you go back to Saturday, is Baltimore really a patsy that you thought they were going into the final stretch here? Because Yamamoto was an out away from a no-hitter on Saturday's game. Gives up a home run to Jackson Holliday. It makes that game 3-1. They ended up getting walked off in the ninth inning. So Baltimore showed a little bit of fight there. Are they going to get feisty knowing that the Yankees have to play them twice down the stretch here? You know, that remains to be seen. But what this weekend did is it kept the Yankees' hopes for an American League East title alive. And more so than keeping the Yankees' hopes for the American League East title alive, it showed you that this team does have a little bit of fight in them. I know my famous line is they get punched in the mouth, they don't punch back. Well, they punched back this weekend. For the first time in 2025, I can confidently sit there and tell you after watching almost every single game that the Yankees have played this year that the Yankees finally swung back, that they got punched in the mouth on Friday night and they swung back on Saturday and Sunday. So is that going to lead them now into the postseason? Is that going to be more of their character going into the postseason? I think if that's the way you want to think, you can think that way after the way the Yankees handled business after losing Friday's game.
So, listen, going into these 4 series, I was pretty nervous. I did not expect them to beat out the Astros. I didn't expect them to beat out the Blue Jays. And already they've exceeded my expectations. I've been pretty down on the Yankees lately. I haven't had that faith in them, but especially against the Blue Jays, I think they did a good job. Because, like you said, yeah, they got punched in the mouth on Friday and they came back and they handled business yesterday and today. You know, today with 2 errors, we still came up with the win. You know, that one walk to Judge, I guess, in the first inning right before the Ben Rice home run really came back to bite them in the ass, because that was a deciding, you know, the win. You know, they got Scherzer out of the game pretty early. I know he's an old man. I wasn't expecting him to go deep into it, but you know, we're looking ahead now. Can they do this again against Detroit? Can they do it again against Boston? I have the feeling that they could do it against Detroit. Boston's what scares me. Boston is probably, you know, if you look at it in the grand scheme of things, at the big picture, Boston is the reason that we're not winning the AL right now. We've lost that many games to them. How do we go forward and correct that problem? The Yankees need to go in there with their asses on fire, and they need to go in and they need to embarrass Boston. There's no more Rafael Devers that they have to worry about anymore. You know, he was the Yankee killer. We need to go in there. Well, the Gerrit Cole killer. We need to go in there and we need to assert our dominance, piss on their leg, and walk out of there, you know, triumphant. We cannot lose another 2 games to Boston. We can't lose another 3. We need to win all 3 of those games just for, you know, my mindset, you know, the sake of my mind. There's only what? There's like what, the 3 weeks left of the season, to two
There's
and a half
19
weeks
games
left.
left.
Yeah, so there's it's it, we're at the nitty gritty here. The Yankees need to put, you know, put up or show up. You know, Anthony Volpe can't be not able to throw a ball to first base. You know what I'm saying? Like these are problems. And like when you watch
You
that
can't
today,
resist yourself. You really can't.
I
You can't
can't,
get
man,
you
because
can't
like
resist yourself with him.
I can't because like I'm watching these games, and this is like, you know, it's the end of the season. These games matter, and they're still marching him out there. And when I watched that today, I was just like, I wasn't surprised. And I was just like, what are we doing at this point? You know, so like, there's so much riding on this, and the Yankees really need to win. They need to win the AL. Because if we're going to a wild card spot, who's, you know, who are we going to be matched up against,
Right
whatnot?
now it would be Boston.
And I don't have faith in us to beat them. You know, I want to go into, I want to win the AL. I want Boston
Well, you mean
and,
the you think you mean the East right now is what you're talking about.
yes. And I want to have the bye week or whatever, and I want to have Boston play Toronto and have them weed each other out and then hopefully win. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't want to have to face
Look,
them twice.
I understand what you're saying, because I've been saying it for the longest time here. The Yankees need to avoid the wild card series. I was back before the Yankees blew the division lead, and I'd said that you got to be one of the top two teams in the American League. You got to avoid the wild card series. And as we've seen, even after all the trades at the deadline for the bullpen, this bullpen still be an issue for the Yankees. So you want to limit the amount of times that you're going to have to use these guys. And
Yes, and
you don't want to have to use them in a wild card series. You want to kind of reset your bullpen and freshen them up a little bit for the division series, instead of having to go and starting to go gun blazing right after the season's over in a wild card series.
then you have Boston clown us throughout the season. You've had Toronto clown us throughout the season. Why? We do not want to play Boston and then have to play Toronto. You want to play one of them. And just hope, you know, and you hope that the Yankees could get it together to win that one series. You don't have to win 2 series against them. It's just like, I don't know if they could do that.
Here's the thing, right? The Yankees are set up for a stub your toe spot this week against the Tigers, because we put the Tigers in the gauntlet because they're leading the American League Central. But if you look at the other three teams, they're all big time rivals of the Yankees. We all know what Houston's done to the Yankees in the postseason. We know what Toronto's done to them this year. We know what Boston's done to them this year. And then kind of like in the middle there is the Tigers, where there's not the fans aren't going to be looking at that series the same. It's in the middle of the week now, the school's back, so there's just not going to be that juice in Yankee Stadium that there would be, you know, if say the Red Sox were in town. So they're definitely set up for a stub their toe spot here, but the problem is they can't afford it right now. They can't afford to lose the series to the Tigers. So if the Yankees win, they won two out of three, two out of three, they lose two out of three, and then they win two out of three, and then they go 7-5 inside this inside the gauntlet here, I think we're all pretty happy with that. But the problem is you have to get greedy now. I said last week that 6-6 is my bare minimum. If they leave this stretch here 6-6, I'm good with that. Well, you got four wins now. You got through the first two series with four wins. You have to find a way to get greedy here and get that number to 7 or preferably 8, because you can't afford to stub your toe. Because the Yankees put themselves in this position where they're down three games with 19 left to play. That's why that last series, when everybody was arguing with me, that didn't cost them the division, blah, blah, shut up. This is what I was trying to explain to everybody. Once your lead is down, is more than the amount of games left that you have with that team, you no longer control your own destiny. And the Yankees lead, even after winning this deficit, I should say, even after winning this series, is still more than the amount of games that they have left with the Toronto Blue Jays, because it's realistically three games and they have zero games left with the Blue Jays. They can't do anything about it. So if the Yankees even go out there and go 19-0, the rest of the way here, the Toronto just has to match them 17-2, and that's it. The Toronto's the champs in the American League. So the Yankees can't afford any slip-ups here. That's why you can look at this Detroit series and say, you know what, they played well against Houston, they played well against the Blue Jays. If they take the series against the Red Sox, I can live with a slip-up here, which I think we would all man-to-man agree with, but realistically, the Yankees can't afford to slip up here against the Detroit Tigers. They can't afford to slip up anywhere the remaining way here. That's why when I talked about this series coming into it, the Yankees really needed to sweep the Toronto Blue Jays here, because then they'd be leaving here even in the loss column. So you only have to make up one game through 19 instead of three through 19 here. So it's a much bigger task at hand for the Yankees. But instead of being pessimistic about it, I'm going to choose to be optimistic here and say that we haven't seen the Yankees play good against winning teams. Before the Houston series, the Yankees hadn't beat a team that was currently in the playoffs since May. They have not won a series against a team that's currently in the playoffs since May. And now they've won two consecutive. So are the Yankees peaking at the right time? If I want to be pessimistic, I'm saying, yeah, this is where we're at. But also in the back of my head, are we realistically playing for wild card positioning right now? Because of the position that the Yankees put themselves in through that middle stretch of the season there, where they were legitimately the worst team in baseball for a long time before they hit that stretch there, before the Boston series, when they played Minnesota, Tampa Bay, and St. Louis.
I mean, this all makes getting swept by the Marlins all that much more egregious. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like we've lost to like some bad team. We've lost to good teams. We've lost to some bad teams. There's some shoo-ins that we should have had that we don't have, and it's coming back to bite us in the ass. Like, we shouldn't be in this position. We don't control our own destiny now. It's we're riding sides, you know, on the passenger side with Toronto driving the car, and now you have to root for the Astros for the next 3 days, and you hope that the Astros sweep them, you know. And I just looked up the schedule. Like, I Toronto's schedule is harder, but like, I don't think it's that much harder than what the Yankees got going on. Obviously, we have the White Sox and Baltimore, but Baltimore just showed us that they could actually still have some life in them. You know, we should beat the White Sox.
They'll definitely be feisty for that four-game set in Boston, in Baltimore, like, the 18th to the 21st. They'll definitely be feisty for that one.
But realistically, the Blue Jays just have to go up and beat up on Tampa Bay, who hasn't really been that great as of late, and they're going to win the AL East. You know, and that, so it's like, It sucks that the Yankees put themselves in this position. It sucks that Boone has allowed us to get into this position, and we should all be feeling it's much like last year. It was much easier, like going into this time of year, knowing that we were going to win the division, and we were what we had going on. It's not fun going into the wild card because we've seen what can happen to us when we end up in that position. So, this is like the stressful time of baseball. Like, it's a long season. 162 games, we're sitting here, we're watching, and now we're down to the final 19, and we're like, oh, now it's when you're starting to bite your nails. Everybody's playing for, a playoff spot. And then once you make the playoffs, like, anything could happen. But if we could get into the playoffs and, or, not have to play three games out of it or whatever, that's great for us. That's what we need.
The
We
Yankees,
got,
go ahead.
I mean, we got Bednar, who I'm still, not sold on yet. I'm not sold on Duvall, clearly. Devin Williams, you don't know what he is, where he's at. Weaver's, he's still been really good for us. But, like, collectively, these guys do. They need some time off, and they need to get their shit right, because it's. I can't watch in the playoffs biting my friggin' nails when we have a four run lead and not being sure that our closer's gonna be able to go out and lock that up for us. We haven't had that all season, and that's really been our problem. I definitely have more white hairs than I did in April.
Well, the Yankees hit or have tied their high water mark for the season here. They're 80-63, so that puts them at 17 over. They were at 17 over going into that Boston series when they swept Kansas City. So that's how long ago that was. So the Yankees have matched their high water mark of the 2025 season. Now you look at these 19 games. This might be outrageous to even say, but you got to figure a way for how can the Yankees get to 15-4? How can the Yankees get to 15-4 here with these last 19 games? I don't know if there is a way, because if you get to 95 wins, I'm going to be pretty confident saying that should get you the American League East. And if it doesn't, then you have to tip your cap to the Blue Jays at that point. I mean, 10 wins, if they go 10-9, if they even play 500 ball here the rest of the way, that would get them to 90. I don't think anybody's really worried about the Yankees getting into the postseason at that point. But if they're going to relegate themselves to the wild card series, it has to be at home. They have to be the top wild card. Again, right now it looks like it's going to be against Boston. I mean, do you want to, have a coronary in the first round of the postseason against the Boston Red Sox in a best of three? I don't think anybody's
No.
looking forward to that. But I think that's where the Yankees are going to ultimately wind up, because it's going to be hard. And you're going to need a lot of help to make up those three games. You're going to have to continue to play good baseball, and you're going to have to and hope that teams are going to have to help you out here along the way. But like I said, man, they went 4-2 so far through the first part of this. That's a good job by the Yankees. For the most part, they played clean baseball. It got a little sloppy today. They were able to overcome it. I wasn't in love with Max Fried through the first three innings there. You get a three-run lead right off the bat after an easy first inning with the Ben Rice home run. You have to find a way to make that stand. He immediately gives up two runs to make it 3-2 in the second inning. And then, you can say whatever you want about Volpe making the error, but he still gives up two doubles in that inning. He's got to be better than that. But then from that point on, he was better than that. He throws 100 pitches through seven, doesn't allow another run the rest of the game. He turns over a lead to the bullpen because Bellinger bangs one off the wall in the bottom of the third inning. And I'll say this again, I'm going to be really pissed off if he's not a Yankee next year. Cody Bellinger is a baseball player. He's a winning baseball player. He fits this team like a glove. The Yankees have to figure out a way to make sure Cody Bellinger is a Yankee long term. Okay? That's that. And then Weaver. I mean, not Weaver. Then Williams comes on in the game in the eighth inning. I knew the Yankees were going to do this today. And Michael Kay said during the game today, well, if you're wondering why, I'm not wondering why. I know. I've watched enough Yankee games. I've covered enough Yankee games. I get it. I am not wondering why. The Yankees are going to be stubborn to a fault with this. It worked today. Barely, it worked today. I said, it's Sunday. Let's say a prayer, see if it gets answered. It got answered. But I knew this going into the game today with the amount of pitches that and times that Weaver's thrown and Cruz is thrown, that they were going to go to Devin Williams in a high leverage situation. until Devin Williams gets the Yankees eliminated, the Yankees are going to continue to be stubborn about this. The Yankees bullpen for the postseason is as follows. David Bednar is your closer. Yeah, I get it. After Thursday in Houston, we all had like a little queasy feeling about it, but he got the outs that he needed to get. And we all seen enough baseball to know these guys don't come in with the same adrenaline with big leads as they do with in safe situations. He got the – it was Walker, and I can't think of the other guy he struck out. He got through it. Bang. Okay, we move on here. Pitched well yesterday to get the save. Pitched well today to get the save. So that's your closer. Fernando Cruz has now moved himself into being the number one guy behind the closer. He's your number one bullpen piece behind your closer. Now, what's scary, and he has 100% earned it. Fernando Cruz has 100% earned being the number one guy behind the closer. What scares me about Fernando Cruz is he's so splitter dependent. If he cannot throw that splitter for strikes or give the illusion that that splitter is going to be for a strike, the Yankees could be in a lot of trouble. Because then he's got to come over with a relatively mediocre fastball. And I'm not saying it's a bad fastball. It's 93, 94. It's very hittable. It's not a good pitch for him compared to what his splitter is. So if he doesn't have that splitter going, that could be an issue for him. But right now, he's earned the right to be the number one option, be the main setup guy. Although what I would really like to see, because of the whiff rate on that splitter and the amount of strikeouts that he gets, is that Fernando Cruz is the fire extinguisher. It's the top of the sixth, top of the seventh. It's time to go get the starter. You know, runners on the corners there. You need a big strikeout. That's where I want to deploy Fernando Cruz. But if the Yankees want him to be the eighth inning guy, why would I complain about that? That's how good he's been. That's how reliable he's been. But to me, he is better serving this team as the fire extinguisher, being the first guy out to quell a rally. Then you have Luke Weaver, who, yeah, he gave up a couple of runs there in Houston. Makes you feel a little uneasy about him. But he's still my ferocious jungle cat. I still do trust him in a big spot. He would probably be my main setup guy. And then you got to figure that who is it? It's Tim Hill if you're in a lefty lane. And then it's Say a Prayer between Doval, who's, let's be honest, has stunk as a Yankee, and Devin Williams, who's really stunk as a Yankee. But it seems like the Yankees are more willing, which they shouldn't do, because Doval's here for another couple of years, and Devin Williams is going to go pitch in low-leverage situations in Kansas City after the season's over. But there seems that they're more willing to give those high-leverage situations to Devin Williams. So every time, if you're not religious, when you see Devin Williams come on the mound, it's time to become religious. Because that's the only way the Yankees are going to get through the Devin Williams experience. Hey, you know what? He threw a nasty changeup to Vlad Guerrero Jr. today, and that's what saved that inning, and that's what really saved that game. So tip of the cap to Devin Williams today. Do I want to see him in a high-leverage situation on Tuesday? I got two words for you. Fuck no. I don't trust him. I don't think anybody should trust him. But for one day, it worked. So that's my bullpen. It's Bednar, Cruz, Weaver. I get Timmy Hill for the lefties, and then I figure out who's the hottest of the bunch. And right now it seems like the Yankees want it to be Devin Williams. So, but that's your postseason bullpen right there.
Yeah, it seems that way, I think we Yarbrough the other day being back was what a,
right. I'm glad you brought that up. Yarbrough being back saved the Yankees for these last two games here, because he ate up the whole middle portion of the game and was able to rest that bullpen where you didn't have to throw guys like Weaver and Fernando Cruz in a game that you were losing. So that's an excellent point that you brought that up. And Yarbrough could be a guy that the Yankees want to deploy against lefties, and I wouldn't have a problem with that. He's not my main guy to come out and get big outs late in games, but he's a weapon that they'll have at their disposal.
Oh, he's a big, like, I was trying to think of the word, and it's like, what an asset that he is to have back. Because he did. He went out there, he ate up the innings. You know, you saw Boone come out, and you could see he was frustrated, and he wanted to get that last out. Boone said, okay, he went, he did it, and he got that last out. You know, it sucks that we lost that game because like that was like, you know, listen, Schlittler, he's gonna have his ups and downs. Okay, fine. I'm nothing against him, but just the performance that Yarbrough went out and put out there was it was great. So, you know, we were missing that. It just goes to show you how important he was in our rotation to have him back there. Duvall and, you know, Williams, they really are you know, Williams is the biggest letdown, obviously, because that was such a big acquisition for us, and we were all so hyped on that. You know, then when I think Duvall was the last person that we got right before the
Right
deadline, and
before,
I
yep.
text you about it, and we were, you know, all excited about it, and then here, you know, he's been anything but. So, in all this black cloudiness, Yarbrough being back is that ray of sunshine breaking through the clouds. Like, holy shit, look what we, you know, what we've got here. So, you know, going forward, what are we gonna have? I think what we're gonna have, I think Will Warren's gonna be pitching Tuesday, Wednesday should be Rodon, and then we're gonna have Schlittler pitch, you know, pitching again Thursday. You know, you gotta hope that Scooble's not the pitcher, but whatever, it is what it is. And you just like, you know, you want to be greedy. You want the Yankees to go out and be 19-0. But you know, being realistic about it, I'm not going to settle for 500 baseball. I want 750. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think they should be able to go out and they should be able to beat up on some of these
You're
teams.
talking about the rest of the way here.
I am. I'll talk about everything. I'm just like everything's like mashed up in my brain.
I think 750 over the course of 162 is a little shooting for the stars there, buddy.
No, 7 to 750 over the next 19 games. How many games would that be? Well, they can't go 750 over 19 because it would be an odd
Well,
number.
that would be what I was saying because that's 14 and a half wins. So that would be what I was saying. Them going 15-4.
They have to. Like, I need them to. Like, that just makes that makes life easy. Like, legitimately, I've been finding white hairs in my beard, you know. And this is what's making the season. And we're like, oh. And everybody I meet on the street or whatever, they all want to talk to me about the Yankees. Everybody wants to talk to me about the Yankees so much this year. I'm not used to this. And it's really showing in my demeanor. And everybody wants to talk about the Yankees with me. I go, oh, yeah, what's up? Like, oh, yeah. Like, oh, they suck, don't they? Like, listen, my guy, get back in your car and get the fuck away from me. I don't want to talk to you. Because, like, I know. And I've been watching this. I've been living the Yankees for the past, you know, how many months. So I'm just. It's hard, but
That's what she said.
Yarbrough, yeah, that's what she said. But like, I just keep going back to like that was the most impressive thing to me over this weekend was with Yarbrough, and like I missed a little bit of the game today. You know, it kind of sucks. You know, today you watch and why did Wells call off Fried? All right, fine. Wells has an easier play at that. He throws it wide. You know, like that was the second error of the game, correct? They gave
Yeah,
him an error for
I
that.
mean, you probably want Wells to field that because it is an easier play
Yeah,
for the catcher going forward, but I mean, if you're going to do that, then you know that you're cut calling off a Gold Glove pitcher.
exactly. And you got to know what you're doing, and you can't. It can't be that far away, you know. It just sucks. Then they got guys, you know, getting safe at first because Rice is
All
getting
right.
pulled off home plate.
All right, I got to table that right now because I want to bring this up here because this is just kind of like breaking right now. So, did you see Ben Rice's home run today?
So actually, I was going to buy a used tonneau cover off some of my Facebook Marketplace. I had the game on. I was getting out of my car, and I heard Michael Kay because watching it on FUBU. Do not watch games and drive; it's bad. Don't let my insurance company know I do it. And I saw it. Yes, I
All right,
just
so
caught it. I was
did
getting out of the car.
all right, so I noticed this because I was on my couch watching the TV, but I don't know if you caught this. Aaron Judge was at second base when Rice hit the home run, and his arms were moving. Did you see Aaron
Okay.
Judge do that? Okay,
Yeah.
well, because he picked up what pitches Max Scherzer was throwing, because Max Scherzer, and I'm watching the video of it right now, has his glove open to Aaron Judge as
Oh,
Aaron Judge
God.
is standing at second base. So this is what John Schneider, the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays had to say. They were relaying pitches. MLB knows the Yankees are good when they have something. We have to do a better job of making sure we're not giving anything away. Now, I'm sure some moron out there is going to run and tell you that the Yankees are cheating, because you all remember however long ago it was Jack doing this.
Yep.
Anything that you can pick up between the white lines with your eyes is not cheating. Okay? That's number one. Picking up signs has been a part of baseball since the 1800s. So if you see something in between the white lines with your eyes, it's not cheating. It's gamesmanship. It's part of the game. You're picking up a competitive advantage. When a guy that's going to the fucking Hall of Fame has his glove open in Aaron Judge's direct line of sight, that is not on the New York Yankees. That's on Max Scherzer.
Is this the 19th year? Like you can't. I can't picture him doing that. Like, I could picture him blowing the game because he's old, but like, you would think that one thing he would do really well is cover the ball and not tip his pitches. But if he's tipping his pitches, by all means, he deserves to have Ben Rice go long on him. So good on them. You know, that makes that home run all that much more sweeter. And you know, there's going to be people out there. Oh, same Yankees cheating. Listen, this is not banging on a garbage can in the dugout while using buzzers and freaking telescopic camera lenses out in the outfield in front of the batter's eye. This is a human being with their naked eyes staring into the glove of the opposing pitcher and being able to pick up what he's about to throw. That is Max Scherzer's fault and the Blue Jays' problem 100%, and there is nothing anybody can say about that, because that is in no way cheating. It's like the same thing that they're first it was a torpedo bats. Yeah, the torpedo bats. We had to listen to that the whole beginning of the season. They really helped us out so much. Look at Anthony Volpe's batting average. I hope he's. I haven't even noticed if he's still using a torpedo bat.
He is.
Well, maybe he should give it up. But you know what I'm saying? It's like this is a story that someone's going to pick up and they're going to run away with
this
it.
Is,
like,
this
oh,
is
yeah.
a complete non-story. If you can pick up the pitch, like I said, in between the white lines, it's not cheating. And I would feel that way if it happened to the Yankees, because how long had we heard bullshit about guys like Luis Severino tipping his pitches? I never got mad at another team for picking that up. That's on Luis Severino and the Yankees for not hiding it better. And if you're Max Scherzer and your glove is literally open so Aaron Judge can see the grip of the ball, that's your problem. That's your fault. That's nobody else's fault. So I just wanted to bring that up because it was kind of just hitting the timeline right now. You know, and John Schneider's right, man. They're the ones that have to do better. They're the ones that have to do better. Your Hall of Fame pitcher can't have his glove open to get to Aaron Judge. It's not like Aaron Judge is Jose Altuve, and you might think that it'll be above his head. The guy's 6'7". He's going to see it, for Christ's sake. And whatever happened, I don't remember the exact time and place, but we all remember when Jazz was doing his Jazz hands, and they were picking up pitches then. Hide it better. Schneider said that. You know, maybe I'm the only one that's going to say this. Go ahead, bro. Keep talking.
I just looked it up. He is. He's got his hand. He's like, hey, look at me. Oh, my
goodness.
He was
like a magician showing you the trick. He's like, here's
how I do
it.
Oh, my goodness.
And what do you think? I'd be mad at Judge if he didn't relay that to Ben Rice.
Yes. Absolutely, because it's so like out there, and Judge looks like he's about to try to fly away.
I saw that, man. Because Judge wasn't in full frame when that happened, but I saw his arm wave, and I said to myself, he has something.
That's so over the top.
Fix it then. I mean, I love that the Yankees are kind of throwing it in their face that it's not a subtle thing. Fix it.
That's crazy. I would argue that Max Scherzer almost was maybe just pissed off at Schneider and wanted to give up a home run. Like, that's how, like, he's just like, hey, look at this. Look at me. look at this ball. I'm about to do this. Hey, whatever. Good on them. That's smart baseball. That's smart baseball. That's situational baseball. That's Yankees picking up on something that they could take advantage of and doing exactly what we wanted them to do all year. And when they do stuff like that, I like it. I get excited about that because it's not poor gamesmanship. It's exploiting your opponent's weakness.
Just like when they used to put the signs down, if you figured out the sequence, that's on the catcher to change the
Yeah.
sequence then. So
That's
if you
why I don't like that. I don't like that. I that's why I don't like pitch com so much. I get why they did it, but you know what? Like, you sit there and that was part of the game. If you could figure it out, you know what I'm saying? They gave you the advantage. Now they took that away.
I mean, if Max Scherzer is going to show Aaron Judge the ball, what do you want him to do?
Well,
Anyway,
hey.
I was going to segue into Aaron Judge, but I want to say this because I don't want to talk about him at all. I don't want you to go on. And again, I'm not telling you what to do. This is our show. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you what you can and can't say. I don't want to go on a 40-minute, you going on one of your 40-minute Anthony Volpe diatribes here, but I want to ask you this.
I'm good.
So do you know what WRC plus is?
Walks run.
Weighted runs
Waiting
created.
runs. Yeah.
All right, so it's park adjusted, so it puts everybody on an even playing field. Okay, so you got that. It has a definitive league average of 100. Again, it's just like OPS plus, which is why I like OPS plus. What wins weighted wins created is it basically, in the simplest forms, calculates your contributions to your team scoring runs. Okay. Since August 15th, do you know what Anthony Volpe's WRC plus is?
No, negative five.
Yeah, it's negative one.
Negative one.
So if WRC plus calculates your contributions to your team scoring runs since August 15th, Anthony Volpe has in effect cost the Yankees runs.
Does it takes into does it only takes in so I'm not a big stat guy.
No,
We
it
all know
only
that.
takes in, yes, it only takes into account offense.
Offense and
Yeah.
he's a negative. Like how? Like he's
Yes, so I just
way to
wanted to,
represent Jersey.
I just wanted to point that out there. But since we talked about Aaron Judge, and this is kind of where I want to end the show on and have a little debate about this, is that we saw on Friday night he was back in right field. And we saw on Friday night it didn't go so well. And then yesterday he was back at DH, and then today he was back in right field. And again, if you listen to Aaron Boone and Aaron Judge after the game on Friday, you could smell the shit coming through their teeth, meaning that they were lying. He can't make all the throws. We all know that. And then Boone came out, I think, Saturday morning and said they're going to get creative with their cutoffs, which means that they have to shorten the distance between Judge and the second baseman or Judge and the shortstop, because guess why you do that? He can't make the throws. And you even saw that today on the sac fly that scored the second run. Aaron Judge just flipped the ball in, and Paul O'Neill,
That's
I think,
normally
and Paul O'Neill said,
a
"Oh,
play.
yeah." That, Paul O'Neill said, "Well, look at where he's on the field, and he's probably not getting him again." When have you ever seen Aaron Judge not try to get the runner in, try to get the runner at home? What would you say conservatively? That was a medium depth fly ball, and it hung up there long enough that it's not a line drive where Judge can get his feet under him, set him, and make a good throw. And he
It's
just he
absolutely a play that Judge would may try to make at home.
and he gave up on the play. He conceded the run. So 2 out of 3 games here that the and he was a little bit more aggressive today, but still not to where you'd want to see him. So he's been back 2 out of 3 games here. It doesn't look good. Well, the problem here for the Yankees is that it's not going to look good for them, because you're in a situation where you have to be conservative with Judge's elbow and basically concede bases, concede runs if you want him out there, or take the risk of Giancarlo Stanton not getting to balls that Aaron Judge gets to. So there's no, is there a right answer here? I'm asking you legitimately. I want your opinion on this. Is there a right answer for the Yankees?
No, there's no right answer. Me personally, I'm playing Judge. Like, I mean, we saw Judge do the diving catch today. You know
Which Stanton
that.
can't, and I love Giancarlo Stanton. He's not making that
Yeah,
play.
he's not making that play. He's not even going to attempt it. And I don't
And
want.
that saved the run, and that run was the deciding run in the game.
Yes. So, I want Judge out there regardless. And for you got when you think about it, Judge, he always makes it competitive trying to throw out the run at home. Does it always happen? No, he doesn't always get him. Does he get him one time out of 10? I don't even think it happens that often, but he makes it competitive.
That one time
So,
out of 10 might keep a runner at third base, though, like we would have seen,
yes,
we could have possibly seen today. Whereas
there'll
they
be
know,
more, yes,
they
they
knew
will.
that he, exactly, that was a run that was given up because the Toronto knows Aaron Judge can't throw the baseball.
And they're going to exploit that. Yeah, so it can lead to a problem, but Giancarlo, he can't get to the balls. So like you're almost,
What do you
I
value
mean,
more? Aaron Judge's ability to actually play defense, i.e., get to balls, make diving plays, track balls, run them down, or that Stanton can throw the ball? And honestly, I'll get your opinion on this. To me, it's not really a debate. You have to sacrifice Judge throwing for Judge's ability to get to balls that Stanton
absolutely.
can't get to.
Yeah, because I don't even think Stanton's not even as accurate as Judge would be if he was throwing the ball. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
It's
and
not
it's not,
like.
and I'm, and it's not like you have. And before the Tommy John surgery, Aaron Hicks had an absolute deadly cannon out there. It's not even like Stan's got that type of arm.
Yeah. No. So I'm putting Judge out there every day, and Stanton's my DH.
I think if you
Because
feel
now.
confident, excuse one second, if you feel confident that doing what you're doing isn't going to worsen the injury for Judge, then Judge has to play right field.
Absolutely, because then you're taking away the all those opportunities for Stanton to hurt himself in the outfield because we can't afford to lose Stanton's bat. So I would rather chance that they're going to steal home on a sac fly or whatever they're going to do on Judge because he can't make the play, then Stanton's going to hurt himself and he's going to be coming out of the lineup anyway. You know what I'm saying? There's too many moving parts to that entire equation that Judge has to be in the outfield. I need Stanton to go back to just being the everyday DH. Then you don't have to deal with the, oh, well, we need to give Stanton a break or for a day or two because he's been running around the outfield. I don't want any of that shit. So we need Stanton's bat in the lineup every day, especially as we're getting down to the wire here. Put Judge out there. His defense is superior to Giancarlo Stanton's, and I think he's going to get more outs in right field than he's going to cost us.
And I know I made a video yesterday saying that Judge was back at DH and maybe that's where he should be. But I mean, I also said later on in the video the exact thing that we're talking about here. What do you value more? Do you value Judge's ability to get balls that Stan can't get to, make plays that Stan can't get to, over the fact that Stan can kind of throw the ball? Because if you watch the series in Houston, they're still taking advantage of Giancarlo Stanton being out there. Two runs scored in that one game in Houston that Stan was out there in left field because they're taking advantage of him. That one runner, I forget where it was, wasn't, Stan's got the ball. He's not even at third base yet, and he scored. So it's not like you have a guy with a deadly accurate arm out there where you can definitely where you can maybe weigh the pros and cons. The reason why I said that Judge maybe should be the DH is because the Yankees don't feel confident in him airing it out, and that if you go into October with Aaron Judge injured and unable to play baseball, this there you we're done talking. We're done. I don't care what the numbers were last year. He's still a presence in the lineup. You still have to figure out a way to get him out, and the guys around him can feed off of that. Okay? So without him, that's a guy. That's what. That's a. What are you going to play, Austin Slater? That's a guy,
Please.
or what? And this is the other thing that I talked about. What would be the Yankees' quote defense first outfield right now? Jose Caballero? Is that, I love him, but he should be your shortstop, number one. And number
Yes.
two, he's not really an outfielder. It's not a guy I feel great about being out there. Ahmed Rosario, I don't want him out there in a clutch situation playing the outfield. I mean, maybe now it's Austin Slater, but now you're picking between, let's say it's Stanton Judge, Austin Slater. You're picking between, you're let's say you're putting Stanton on the bench to play Austin Slater?
No.
Or what? Or what would be the the most well-rounded out of all of them is putting Dominguez in left field, maybe. The Yankees have told you all year they don't like Dominguez in left field.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could put Bellinger in left and Dominguez in right. But would that make a difference in the Yankees' mind? I don't know. They're clearly telling you they don't like Dominguez as an outfielder. So right now, I don't see a really good answer, one that makes me confident, other than if they're going to work around this and be willing to concede bases, it kind of has to be Aaron Judge. Again, this is one of those types of things where it's okay until it costs you a run that gets you sent home, which it could possibly do.
I don't know. It's not even a question for me. I'm not even like hesitant about it. I'm putting Judge out in the outfield all day long. You need Stanton's bat. You need Judge's bat. You know, the offense that the two of them put together, or they offer, or just the potential, you know, they both need to be in the lineup. You can't not. It sucks because if you put Stanton out there, now you have the defensive liability. Like you said, because that one ball that hit into left field, Stanton couldn't even get to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's so slow. And that's Stanton's problem. And he has to be slow, because if he's fast is when he hurts himself. He has hamstring issues, obviously. Okay, so you don't want to risk that. Now, if you don't put you don't put Judge in the outfield, you put Austin Slater in the outfield or whatever, or Caballero, whatever is going on, you're losing Stanton's bat or you're losing Judge's bat. It's one or the other. And you need their offense. So it's not even a question. Judge needs to play. And Stanton needs to play. So the only real way you can do that is Judge in the outfield all day long. Don't make the crazy throw. Don't tear your friggin' ligament off your bone or whatever the hell is going to go on here. Just throw it to the cutoff, man. If it's going to cost us. You know, you're living by and dying by Judge at this point. You know, it is what it is. And if that's what happens, I'm not going to be mad at him about it. You know, he's been our whole team.
So it'll be interesting to see if the Yankees are going to do this 2 out of 3 thing, or they're going to give a more consecutive day. What would be more interesting, I should say, is when the Yankees give him consecutive days in the outfield. Because even if they play him Tuesday, it doesn't really count because of the off day tomorrow.
Day off, yeah.
So when do they play him 2 consecutive days in the outfield? So when they had the whole tit for tat a couple weeks ago, when Boone said he'll never throw 100% again this season, and Judge said, I don't know why I would say that. Well, you know what? It's kind of looking like Aaron Boone was right. And I hate saying that because the guy's a bubble-blowing buffoon, but it does seem like he was right in this instance, that Aaron Judge is not going to be able to throw 100% the rest of the way. And the Yankees have to hope that that is not the reason they lose a baseball game in October. And the way to definitely – and the way to really eliminate the fear of that is if Aaron Judge has his 09 A-Rod run this year.
Yeah, because especially after last year, a Judge dropping the ball, let's say we get knocked out this year because of, you know, someone on a sack fly because Judge can't throw. I mean, it's just like that's – I don't want that to be his legacy. So it does. It sucks. It's just a shitty position to be in. You hope that Judge goes on some offensive tear and just – destroys the ball, and that's what we've been hoping for.
And we all know what Giancarlo Stanton's here to do: hit home runs in October.
Exactly.
That's what we want him here for. That's what he's here to do.
If Judge could put it together in October, and Giancarlo Stanton plays even in a shadow of what he's been, what he was last year, I'm confident that we could make it pretty far in the playoffs. Because that's just an offensive like lineup that you're looking. Pitchers going to come to the mound and shit their pants. But Judge needs to turn it on, and now's the time to do it. Let's see what he's got. Because you know, I want him to win another MVP. I want him to put everybody to sleep about the whole Cal Rally friggin' talk and all that stuff. I need Judge. We missed him for those few days, and I have not gotten my fill of Judge yet this season now because of that.
Well, you'll get your fill of Judge later on this week here as we kind of look ahead here as the gauntlet continues after an off day on Monday against the Detroit Tigers, Tuesday, Wednesday. Excuse me. I'm still trying to get over the sinus infection here. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, all 7:05 starts against the Detroit Tigers. Tuesday, it's going to be Casey Mize against Will Warren. And then Wednesday, you and I are going to be at the stadium. So if anybody's going to be at the stadium on Wednesday, take a look for Sem and I. I'll be out roaming around Section 107, so come say hi. It'll be Jack Flaherty against Carlos Rodon. And thank God, and this is, we don't get political on the show. We have never gotten political on the show. This is an escape from politics on this show, okay? But thank God we're not going to the game on Thursday, okay?
Yeah, I wouldn't go.
It's not. It's the anniversary of September 11th, and I got to give MLB a lot of credit because next year, believe it or not, it's 25 years since 9/11, and they have scheduled the Yankees versus the Mets to play each other on 9/11, which it should be like that every year, but credit them for doing it on the 25th anniversary of 9/11. But the reason why I say that is that President Trump is going to be at Yankee Stadium for the anniversary of 9/11 on Thursday. And the reason why I say thank God we're not going has nothing to do with him being there per se. It's the fact that the president of the United States is going to be at Yankee Stadium. And I do not – we dealt with how it was trying to get in there to get Hamilton hats, okay? What do you
Hamilton.
Think, what do you think it's going to be like security-wise with the president in the building?
Just listen, we had Obama drive through our town when he was president, and I remember the traffic that I sat through trying to make my 5-minute drive from where I had been to get home. And I never want to experience anything like that again. It's not that I don't like Obama. It's not that I don't like Trump. I don't care. I do not want a president around me ever again, because I do not want to deal with the congestion that they cause. And I can't imagine just getting into Yankee Stadium. And I told you, getting in for those Hamilton hats was stupid. I can't imagine what it would be like with having security checks and all that stuff.
The Secret Service and everything that's going on.
Oh my God, I would have given my tickets away for free. Here you go. They're nice. They're padded. You could sit here. Let me know how the game is, because I wouldn't go anywhere near that.
Again, this is not politics. We're not speaking politically about, you know,
it's
one way
traffic
or another.
And security checks.
Just understand that if you did not hear this and you have tickets to the game on Thursday, that the president is attending the game.
We pray for you. Let us know how long it took you to get in.
Yeah, please. I would honestly, that's the only reason I decided to bring it up, because I think that people should be aware of the security measures that are going to be put in place at Yankee Stadium on Thursday when the president attends the game. Okay. So it could have been Biden. It could have been Trump. It could have been Obama, Bush. It doesn't matter. Go down the line. The president of the United States is going to be at Yankee Stadium on Thursday. It's going to lead to an increased amount of security and protocols that are not normally in place during the regular 1 through 162. Okay. So just be aware of that if you're heading out to Yankee Stadium on Thursday, which the pitching matchup is going to be Cam Schwitler against TBD, which TBD could be Tarek Skubal. The Tigers have not committed to that yet. So that's the look ahead here. So as we said, we'll be out there on Wednesday. I'll be hanging around Section 107. So if you want to come say hello, please do so. And if you haven't done so already, please leave us a 5-star rating and review on your favorite podcast platform. Make sure you tell everybody NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. Our next live show is going to be September 22nd, so it's going to be still a little bit of ways away. That will be on NYYU, but if you want to check out what Pete and the boys are doing over there in our absence, make sure you are subscribed to NYY Underground. So we want to thank everybody for their continued support, and want to thank everybody for listening to episode 491. Sem, say goodbye.
Goodbye.